Good evening, everyone. This is Reverend Charles Womack. Greetings from Faith-Driven, Grace-Living Ministries. Y'all, we are already all at the end of our Black History Month. Y'all, time is moving so fast. Y'all, the world is moving so fast, y'all, that we often, y'all, get to the point where we can actually, y'all, forget that wonderful gift called Amazing Grace. Now, y'all, those who have their Bibles this evening, y'all, turn with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. Now, y'all, the passage we will utilize this evening, y'all, is a very familiar passage. Although you are greatly familiar with this passage, oftentimes, y'all, we can become so consumed and occupied, y'all, with the details of life. We sometimes, y'all, can take for granted all of the blessings, y'all, that God has performed in and throughout our lives. This evening, y'all, we will focus our attention on Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. And it reads, "For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, and not of works, lest any man shall boast." Y'all, let us accept as a title of our message this evening, God's Amazing Grace. Now, I would like you all to present this message in the format of a story. Now, this is not the story, y'all, of the blessed cup. This is not the story, y'all, about the three trees. Y'all, this story, y'all, is about a man. A man, y'all, by the name of John Newton. Y'all, this is one of the most amazing stories I have ever heard. Now, y'all, this brother by the name of John Newton, well, at this point in the story, y'all, Mr. Newton, y'all, he is the co-captain of a slave ship. Yes, y'all, his business was in the selling of human cargo. Newton, y'all, he sailed his ship throughout and around the coast of Africa. He went from one end of the coast of Africa to the other, where he stocked his ship, y'all, with the bodies of human beings. With people who look just as we do. Y'all, he purchased them with the sole purpose of selling them for profit. John Newton, he had a seller's mouth and a slave purchaser's set of morals, until his life was interrupted by God. On one fateful night, John Newton, y'all, he gave his life to Jesus Christ. Now, he eventually moved away from slave trading, and he became a pastor. Yes, y'all, not only did John Newton preach the gospel for 45 years, but y'all, he wrote and gave Christianity one of the greatest hymns that we've ever heard. This hymn, y'all, is the most reproduced, most internationally famed song in all of Christian history. John Newton, he died at the age of 81, but his melody still lives on. That wonderful, soul-stirring hymn is none other than Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. You know, how many of us, you all, can claim this hymn as our own personal testimony? You know, how many of us, you all, can recall when we had a void in our souls? Y'all, when our lives had no substance and our needs were great, yet God reached out and bestowed upon us his amazing grace. Y'all, let us look this evening at the life of Brother John. And then, of course, the words that were inspired by the Holy Spirit that were uttered through his pen, that we may, y'all, once again witness just how powerful God's amazing grace truly is. Now, y'all, this evening we will focus our attention on the second line of this hymn. Of course, y'all, the second line, it displays two wonderful components of God's grace. The first component, y'all, is the confusing paradox of grace. You see, y'all, in the second stanza, Newton, he basically writes, y'all, these intriguing words. When he wrote, "It was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved." As we see, y'all, this second stanza is somewhat confusing. Y'all, we find Newton, y'all, he's crediting God with imputing fear within his heart, yet you're relieving those fears with that very same grace. But you see, y'all, sometimes, y'all, that's exactly what grace does. Proverbs 14:27, it says, "The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death." But this is exactly, y'all, what happened to John Newton. John Newton's life, y'all, had become a living metaphor, a consistent, influential body of emptiness. And because of this void, he found himself under a great and unexpected ordeal, an ordeal in which he was absolutely unprepared for. Here, John Newton, y'all, he stands before God. Now, he doesn't know, y'all, how to handle this storm. Y'all, there are times, y'all, when God has to allow storms to enter into our lives before he can get our attention. But here, y'all, John Newton's life, it became a consistent voyage, a voyage of turbulent water that consumed his life from every angle of the compass. John Newton, he was like a person, y'all, without a home, on a ship without a port. However, y'all, on March the 21st, 1748, Newton, being a young slave trader, he slept soundly in his bunk. He was not sure if it was the sea or his soul that prepared him from one nightmare into another. But of course, y'all, John, he now realized, y'all, that he was also awakened by a fierce storm. This storm was without hesitation taking over the ship, and every single sailor, including John Newton, was afraid for their lives. Newton allowed his sailor instincts to kick in. He dashed immediately to the deck, and there he took over the helm. All of a sudden, y'all, he felt this rough hand on his shoulders. "Bring me a knife," shouted the first captain, the shout barely heard over the chaos. John followed the directives of the first captain to run the errand. But, y'all, by the time that he returned, the man who had taken over his post while he had run the errand has been washed overboard. "That was meant for me," John Newton thought, as he returned to his post of duty. He said to himself, without thinking, in his silent voice, "If this does not work, the Lord have mercy on us." The Lord, y'all, John Newton had not for years uttered the name of Jesus. But now we find him, y'all, trying to lean on the Holy One. He has ignored all of his adult life. Y'all, we must not be surprised, y'all, if when we ignore Jesus, when he's calling our name, y'all, he just might not respond as quickly, y'all, when we call his name, only when it's convenient for us. Now, y'all, throughout the night, this storm, y'all, it became more and more vicious. The water was filling the boat. The winds were dislodging the panels and tossing anything that was not tied down. Newton and his crew, y'all, they worked throughout the night. All of a sudden, John, he began to experience foreign types of emotions and thoughts which were spilling into his soul. And then suddenly, John and the others, y'all, they realized that day was nearly breaking. John realized with hope, "We're possibly going to make it, and we just might survive." However, y'all, Newton, he began to experience a new phase of foreign emotions. He could not find a logical reason for this encounter. How many of us, y'all, know that when God touches us, your human knowledge goes straight out the window? Your John Newton and his men, I mean, they were terrified with fear. God allowed this storm into their lives, y'all, for a purpose. It was, y'all, a part of his plan. God wanted to teach these men a lesson, y'all, that they did not know, yet they needed to learn, something that never changes. And that is, Jesus can be trusted in any storm in life. Amen? So, y'all, this storm, it was in their lives, y'all. It was there to teach them. It was there, y'all, to teach them and to guide them in the right direction. It was there, y'all, to bring them closer to God. You know, y'all, God, he does the same thing for us sometimes. You know, he does this, y'all, to draw us closer to him and to steer us in the right direction. Your God's grace is there, y'all, to bring us through the pain and the storms of life. Just as the grace of God brings fear into our lives and into our hearts, it also removes those fears. 8 times in the New Testament, y'all, Jesus said, "Don't be afraid." Your God said these same words to Joshua in the Old Testament. Your God told Joshua, just as he tells each of us today, God told Joshua in the 3rd chapter, in the 9th verse, he said, "This is my command, be courageous and not afraid." He said, "The Lord your God is with you wherever you may go." My brothers and sisters in Christ, yo, no matter what we're going through, I mean, it may be your financial problems, relationship problems, health problems, substance abuse problems, and that includes prescriptions. Yo, no matter what the problem is in our lives, yo, we don't have to be afraid, because you'll see the captain of the ship, yo, is our Father. Yo, we know the one, yo, who controls the ship, the wind, and the waves. We don't have to be afraid, yo, because we are not alone. You see, yo, it doesn't matter, yo, if it's a loss of a job, an inflation in the economy, unrest among the nations, a threat of another world war. Yo, even if there were aliens from outer space, yo, we don't have to be afraid. I mean, we could and we should be fearless. Now, Newton, yo, he brings us to the second element of God's amazing grace. And that is, yo, the connecting point of grace. Yo, the connecting point of grace, yo, we find in the second stanza and the last line. It says, "How precious did his grace appear the hour I first believed." Now, we find here Newton, y'all, he finds himself, y'all, once again, as he says in his self-righteousness, as he found himself exhausted and ready to get out from under the compass, he was then relieved of his duty. He got only one precious hour of sleep, and then he was back on another ship. Y'all, Newton, he steered that ship until midnight, but that final hour at the wheel, Newton began to pray. However, y'all, Newton, he writes, "I could not utter the prayer of faith. I could not cry out to a reconciled God. I could not call him Father." Now, as we see, y'all, this emptiness of the principle of faith, y'all, it was void. In other words, y'all, Newton, he didn't know God. Y'all, he didn't know Jesus. Y'all, he didn't know the Holy Spirit. Y'all, he did not have faith, but he wanted it. And the only thing now was, how will I find faith? Now, y'all, when Newton was finally relieved from his duty at the wheel, well, he went immediately, y'all, to the supply cabinet in search of a Bible. It took 3 more weeks before the ship anchored an island. However, y'all, all the way there, Newton, y'all, he was lost in thought, deep in prayer, and consumed with the scripture. And through that experience, y'all, Newton had come to learn about the gospel. Y'all, he had come to learn about the power of the one who the gospel exalted, and that, of course, being Jesus Christ. Newton, y'all, he learned that, y'all, despite of his shady past, he was still qualified for salvation. Y'all, he could be saved from the misery he created in his own soul. John Newton, through the pages of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he found faith. He believed. Now, although he had not yet gotten where he needed to be, so he had many additional obstacles that he had yet to overcome. However, y'all, that night, John, y'all, he was touched. Yes, y'all, he was touched by the omnipotent power of the Holy Spirit and forever saved and delivered by the amazing grace of God. Y'all, have any of us, y'all, ever been, y'all, rescued or protected or delivered or even touched by the grace of God? True enough, y'all, Newton, he began to acknowledge, y'all, how great God's grace truly is. And he also realized, y'all, that the grace of God, and he realized, y'all, that the storms also that came into his life, those same storms that limited him, y'all, from where he needed to be, he came to acknowledge, y'all, the fact that, y'all, only God can give comfort. Now, in John 1 and 2, it says, all of those who receive Christ. To them gave he the power to become the sons of God. Y'all, Paul, he underlines, y'all, the connection between faith and grace when he said, God makes people right with themselves when they believe in Jesus Christ. So you see, y'all, we all need to be a part of his understanding and his relationship. It says, by his grace, which is a gift from God. It says, by God's grace, through our faith. Yo, did we not hear that three-letter word, all? Yo, nobody's left out. Everyone. As a matter of fact, yo, we can begin to call John Newton. Y'all, I'm talking about the slave trader. I'm talking about the one, y'all, who had no regards for human life. Y'all, we can begin to call him Brother John. And if Brother John can be forgiven, y'all, we all can be forgiven. Y'all, this is why we must, y'all, refrain from being so swift in judging one another. And then get back, y'all, to praying for one another. Jesus tells us in 1 John 1 and 9, if you confess your sins, I am just and faithful that I'll forgive you your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. However, y'all, let us be aware, your 1 John 1 and 9, it's not a license to sin. It's a license to get back in fellowship with God. It's a license, y'all, to rebound and keep moving. It's a license, y'all, to serve God. One of the final words Christ uttered on the cross was, "Tetelestai," which means, it is finished. So we see, y'all, there is no need for add-ons for the concept of salvation. Y'all, it doesn't matter, y'all, who you are or what this life has filled your cup with. Y'all, we can all benefit from God's grace. Y'all, through Jesus Christ, y'all, there is forgiveness. Y'all, through Jesus Christ, there is mercy. Yes, y'all, there is love and there is grace. But we have to believe. Now, I'm sure y'all that some may be thinking and even saying in their hearts, but that's just too easy. I mean, what about repentance? What about baptism? What about tithing? What about a changed heart? Are you saying, Reverend Womack, that these things aren't necessary? No, of course not, y'all. Y'all, these things that we're talking about this evening, y'all, they're absolutely important. But such things, y'all, like repentance and baptism, tithing, and a changed heart and mind, y'all, these things, y'all, they are not an addition to faith. Y'all, they are the result of faith that work together to make our faith real. Y'all, what Jesus wants us to understand this evening is that, y'all, it's not all about y'all who we are. You know, it's about y'all who he is. You know, it's not about y'all what we have accomplished. You know, it's all about what he has accomplished for us on the cross. And all he asks of us, y'all, is to believe and to trust in him and him alone. In 20 centuries of church going, y'all, we emphasize performance. I mean, y'all, there are countless persons, y'all, who come to Christ sincerely, but they are still holding on, y'all, and dependent upon their own accomplishments. And they don't realize, y'all, that the first and most important thing that we must do, y'all, we must give up our own efforts and think about, y'all, what Christ has done for us. Now let me say this, and I want this to be, you know, very understood. Y'all, Christianity is all about, y'all, a God. A God, y'all, who is seeking a relationship with us. And the head of that relationship, y'all, is trust and faith, which, of course, y'all, is the essence of a relationship. You see, y'all, our relationship with God, y'all, it is created with God, with all of our hearts and minds. I mean, we trust in his grace, and we put his faith in him. You see, y'all, if the gospel finds that grace is the heart of it, then, y'all, the heart of how we react and respond to that grace, it represents, y'all, an acceptance of the gospel. You see, y'all, when God's grace meets human faith, my God, amazing things happen. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. two wonderful elements of God's amazing grace, the confusing paradigm of grace and the connecting point of grace, beautifully conveyed in harmonious melody. As I conclude, you'll let us meditate on these two stanzas, but as we do, I would like to challenge each of us, you all, to consider you all the circumstances of our own lives in light of God's grace. Are you in the midst of one of life's storms? If so, you all, maybe God is trying to tell you something. You all, maybe God is trying to, you all, direct you down the right road. You all, maybe God, you all, is trying to, you all, steer you all in the right direction. I mean, is there fear in your heart? If so, your Christ, he wants to remove that fear. He wants you to trust in him. He wants you to know, you all, that he will walk with you through these storms. If you have never truly trusted God before, then you have never truly experienced God's grace. So for God's sake, no, for Christ's sake, no, for your sake, put your trust and faith in him and discover just how precious his grace appears. May God bless you. May God keep you, is my prayer. Good night, everyone. God bless.